Good evening and welcome aboard flight CKCO-TV Channel 13 to Niagara Falls, Bay of Fundy, Manitoulin Island, Ottawa and Vancouver. Today's entertainment is, what happens on the road, stays on the road. So sit back and enjoy. The drink cart will be around shortly.
Hello everyone, my name is Fran Papert Shannon. And for 13 years, from 1979 to 1992, I was the host of Romper Room and Friends, which was broadcast on the CTV network and produced at CKCO-TV in Kitchener. And I was Miss Fran, the host and associate producer. And I am very happy to introduce a lady whose incredible creative talents really added to the show over the years. And I'll let her introduce herself.
Hello, Miss Fran. It's so nice to see you and be in a studio with you again.
Yes.
It's been a few years for sure. My name is Kathy Menard, and I portrayed the parts of Doobie and Paddington Bear. Completely different personalities, if any of you recall the days of Romper Room and Friends. And it was just, as they say, a pantload of fun to be part of that program, for sure. So I think you were going to tell me something about the early years.
I was going to tell you about my very first shoot, my on-location shoot. And we did together, Kathy, you and I, like hundreds. But this was number one, and it was at Marineland in Niagara Falls.
Oh, my.
And the producers of the show, who were in Baltimore, said, Fran, we want you to ride a whale. And I said, pardon?
You didn't walk away right then.
No, pardon? And they said, we would like you to ride a whale. So I do not swim. And I put on my little bathing suit, like the good little Miss Fran I was. I was so naive, and I wouldn't do it today, you know.
No.
Ethically, I would not touch it. But there I was, and they sort of lifted me on the back of a killer whale. There was nothing to hold on to.
Oh, my God.
And as I was being pushed away, they said, now, sometimes the whale does a diving motion.
You had no life jacket on?
Nothing, Cass.
But my Lord.
It was very scary. So that was my very first shoot. Everything was easier from there on.
I would hope so.
Yes.
So there's no sense in a whale like there would be in a horse that the whale knew you were terrified and potentially did that dive. It was just one of those.
I got lucky.
Luck of the draw.
I got lucky that he didn't.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. That's exciting.
Speaking of exciting, do you remember walking along the Capilano Suspension Bridge in Vancouver?
I do. I remember the swaying, and I remembered a terrified Miss Fran, if I recall correctly.
Oh,
I'm in a costume, remember. Let's remember I'm in a costume. I can't see. I have no peripheral vision, but you're the one that's frightened.
Yes. Well, what happened is they said, we want you to walk along the Capilano Suspension Bridge with Doobie. And the bridge is 70 meters in the air, right? And it's swaying. And do you remember as we got halfway across, and poor Kathy couldn't see very well out of her eyes, these kids who were students who were visiting Canada decided to jump on the bridge and make it sway.
Oh, it's so much fun. Unless you're in a bee costume.
That's right.
Oh, Lord. But believe me, there was an advantage to having the head on, as they say, because no one could see the terrified look on my face while I was going, oh, isn't this fun? And I'm dancing around and playing, please, God, let me get across to the other side. So I wasn't always the bravest one because you just never could see the fear.
Speaking of whales.
Yes. We saw whales, didn't we?
We saw whales when we were in the Bay of Fundy. Yeah. Do you want to tell the story?
Well, we were in a place called Grand Manan Island, and to be truthful, I had never heard of Grand Manan
Either
Island.
Either have I.
Yeah, my dad was from New Brunswick.
Oh.
St. John, which was not that terribly far.
No.
I seem to recall we took a bus, then we took the ferry across. But you, as always, had done tons and tons of research. You knew so many things that were so exciting to do there. So that was one of the things we got to do on Grand Manan. And I think we spent a good 5 days there. Lovely.
We did.
Beautiful. Everyone should go.
Oh, yes.
And we went out on a whale watch. And, of course, this particular whale watch, again, you have everything scripted. You know exactly what you're going to do. What you didn't realize in that particular trip was that our director, Tom Keller, was a genius. If that man called a cue, you were there, right? What we didn't know was how good he was. Now, you take it from here.
Well, I was blathering away, as usual, to the camera. And Tom said, all right. And Buck Dunseith was shooting. Yep. And Tom said, bless his soul, by the way, Tom Keller.
Yes, indeed.
Tom said, Fran, I want you to do a stand-up now. I want you to introduce a segment, and then I'm going to cue the whale. And I said, of course you are, Tom. So I said, hello, Romper Room friends. Here we are in the Bay of Fundy, and let's go whale watching. And as I gestured out to the sea, up popped the whale on Tom's cue. He was masterful.
And we just lost it, including Tom, if I recall correctly. And he said, hey, did you ever doubt me? never doubted you in the past. We had such a good time on Grand Manan.
We did.
We did some stuff. We did, what was the bend and stretch, if I recall?
Oh, yes. Well, I was very sick. I had managed to get a very bad cold. And I was leading a bend and stretch segment on the beach of Grand Manan with a lot of local children who were very seafaring, savvy kids. And I was doing bend, which wasn't fun with a heavy cold, and stretch. And all of a sudden, one of the little guys who was the son of a sailor goes, oh my good lordy, it's the baby! Because his little baby brother had come creeping onto the sets on his hands and knees.
Yep.
So I've never forgotten that.
We always drew a crowd.
Yeah,
we were very popular on our trips, if I recall correctly.
We were. Do you remember when we went to Manitoulin Island?
Went across on the Chichimon.
The Chichimon. And when we pulled into port.
Yeah.
Is that what you would call it?
Yeah.
When we pulled into port, there was a group of people like I've never seen before. They were holding big banners welcoming us. They were waving. They were clapping.
I think it was the whole population. I don't think there wasn't anyone that didn't turn out that day. It was like the queen had arrived.
I felt like...
Well, the queen had arrived. I'm sorry.
I felt like Princess Diana. I did.
They were so excited. And that had never happened before.
And we were guests of the Indigenous Nation there and the Ojibwe Cultural Center. And we taped many segments there. Yeah. I think they were deeply spiritual segments. We really were touched by the hospitality and the spirit of the people there.
And I think I became much more aware of the heritage there that I had not known. And as many, many Romper Room trips, I learned so much more about Canada.
Yes. Well, we were given a very privileged look at some of their places. Yeah. And Kath, do you remember we climbed up sort of a mini little mountain to the top where there was a group of rocks that they called Dreamer's Rock.
That's right.
And it was the place into which a young man or young woman would lie down and spend a couple of nights there without food. And by the third day, I believe it was, they would see their future. They would encounter a spirit which would help them to see their future. It was a magical place.
It truly was. And I was lucky as Doobie to be part of one of their powwows.
Yes, we both were, yeah.
Yeah, that was, again, and learning more about it, not just watching it. There was so many explanations that went with it, and it was such a, as you say, spiritual and such an education.
You were always so convivial and jolly and happy as Doobie, but I do remember once as Paddington Bear where you weren't so polite.
Oh, no, Paddington was often not polite, but yes, yes, let's talk about that. We were co-chairs, were we not, of the UNICEF organization that particular year?
Yes, the Canadian UNICEF ambassadors.
That's
were.
It. Co-chair and bear, isn't that how we kind of phrased it?
Because co-chair and bear.
Paddington had the honor of being the bear in that duo. And so we were in this ante room to, I believe, the Parliament Chambers.
Yes.
And we had quite an amazing event. There were a children's choir singing this marvelous song, and it was a speech by none other than the Prime Minister of Canada at the time, Mr. Brian Mulroney, the
Correct.
Honorable Brian Mulroney. And so he was part of that or that event, as we were. And when it was finally over, And all of this was being recorded by, I believe, Buck and Tom, as always.
Yes.
And or as often. And as we went to leave the podium after having the speeches and whatnot, the choir is still singing. I'm waving at the kids, waving at the people. The prime minister is beside me on one side. I think you're on the other.
Yes.
And it was lovely. Well, later that day, as in the old days, we would plug in the camera to the back of a television set to kind of see how the B-reel, as we called it, I always liked that, the secondary reel, to see what we would use in the actual segment. And as we looked at it, all of a sudden, I think it was Buck said, "Oh my God, the bear just snubbed the prime minister." And I'm like, "What? What?" And I look back at it, and as the prime minister goes to grab my arm by the elbow, I raise my arm with great enthusiasm to wave at all these children. And it literally looks like I'm going, "Don't even think about touching my arm." I just lost it. I don't recall if the final segment showed that particular moment or not.
Oh, I believe it did.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. It was one of my precious moments.
I was so scared about meeting the prime minister, but he was charming.
Yes, he seemed to be very nice.
He was a charming man.
Even after I snubbed him.
And speaking of charming, when we were in Ottawa, we taped some segments for Romper Room. You know, the Parliament buildings and the Mint, the Canadian Mint and the RCMP. But, Kathy, we were guests on Margaret Trudeau's talk show.
That's right.
And Margaret at the time was doing a morning talk show out of Ottawa. And Tom taped it because we used the interview for Romper Room. And I remember Tom saying afterwards, "Who knew that she had such great legs?" That was our Tom.
Well, he was paying close attention.
He was.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Appreciated that. There were many times that we really, really did appreciate that close attention.
We interrupt our program to say dinner will be served shortly. Please have your food tray ready. Your options are Arctic char, Pacific grilled salmon, and for dessert, creme caramel or flan. We now return to Fran Papert Shannon and Kathy Menard and what happens on the road stays on the road.
Another famous person to whom we had the privilege of spending time was David Suzuki. Yeah. And Mr. Suzuki was kind enough to take many segments with us in Toronto for Romper Room. And we were out in the wild, and I had two children with me. And David very carefully lifted up this rock and turned it over. And there's bevy of slugs and centipedes and icky stuff. And I went, "Ew!" Now, you don't say "ew" about nature in front of David Suzuki.
No.
He was not pleased with me.
A little chastising going on.
Actually, on camera, he said, "Oh, Fran." He was shocked.
Did that stay in the clip too?
It did.
Yeah, there you go. So no kids ever went "ew" again. Such a remembrance, eh?
And do you remember Bob Munch?
Oh. The children's writer. My goodness, he just wrote. My kids read every book that man ever wrote and told. We were lucky, were we not, to have experienced Robert Munch in the early days.
Yes, I think some of his earliest television appearances were on Romper Room, during which he would tell his stories. And he was a lovely, quiet, to himself kind of gentleman when you talk to him off camera.
Yeah.
But as soon as you put a camera on him in kids,
yeah.
He came alive. He was just he was a wild man. He told those stories with great vigor and vitality. And Robert Munch, what a wonderful human being.
My kids saw him later. I mean, he told one of his stories. We once said, I think it was Mud Puddle that he read.
Yes.
Or told. He doesn't read them. He just tells them again because he knows them all so well. And my kids were too young at the time to take part in that. But years later, they were at a function in Waterloo that he was reading something. And I think my kids were at least 10 and 12, at least that. And they were just spellbound by that man.
Oh, yes.
So it was such an honor. I know I remember the day very clearly when he actually came in our studio. And wow.
I think he came a couple of times.
Is that right? Yeah.
And do you remember, we used to do live shows.
Oh, yes.
We did one at the CNE, Romper Room Live, and we did one at the University of Guelph. And Bob Munch actually came backstage after our performance and congratulated us. He was such a He is such a sweet human being.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Okay, you talk about the Alliston, the Alliston Honey Festival.
Oh, my goodness.
Miss B.
We did a lot of parades in the day, didn't we?
We did.
We did a lot of parades, and some were just parades, and then there were parades. And the Honey Festival, which we think it is.
Yes.
It was in the summer, if I recall, and it was just pouring rain. And I think all the way up there, we thought, this is just not going to happen.
They're going to cancel.
Of course, they're going to cancel. And we get there, and they hemmed, and they hawed, and they didn't want to let the kids down.
No.
So, we didn't either.
No.
But how are you going to do this, right? Well, they had a brilliant idea, which I don't know that anyone has ever had before or since. And it was, we will go to them. So they put us on a float. And we toured up and down every street.
Every street.
And the kids waved from their living room windows or their bedroom
warm
windows.
Warm and dry.
And the bear got wet, and it wasn't pleasant. I can tell you, it wasn't pleasant. It was, and we went to a place after.
Yes, an arena.
An arena, and the kids all came up to get autographs and whatnot. And by that point, the bear was really starving. And of course, in those days, I mean, good Lord, I mean, what are you going to do? You deal with it, and hopefully kid doesn't hear your stomach rumbling, because that could have happened.
Yes.
But you decided in all kindness to try to help me, and you were feeding me food inside the head, tossing it inside when the kids weren't looking, which was nice, except for the fact that the costume head was about probably 6 inches away from my real mouth. So all I can do is see them. I can see these little pieces of food, and I can't touch them.
Oh,
I can't reach them. So thoughtful, very nice, but that was a special parade for sure.
And so was the Oktoberfest Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes.
And we used to do a lot of them.
We did.
Year after year. And one in particular, we were in the back of a convertible.
Oh, an old one, like a 50s or something.
Very old convertible. Yeah. Very old is pertinent to the story. And as we were traveling down King Street, getting close to the TV studio, the convertible stopped. It malfunctioned and it just stopped.
Yep, it was done.
And we were on camera. Luckily, the next person coming along in the parade was the mayor, Dom Cardillo. And he called out, "Hey, girls, you want a lift?" So we went scrambling on the back of his convertible. And I remember my hands around Paddington's bear's butt trying to push.
And meanwhile, the parade marshals are pushing off the car quickly that I don't think there was even a lag in the parade.
No, we were in Dom's car. And in the meantime, he was going, anyone want any pins or pens? God bless him.
Indeed. Yep. Indeed. That was fun. That was fun.
As well as human beings, we had animals sometimes to interact with, many different kinds of animals, some of whom would get nervous.
They did.
In the studio. And in one instance, I remember having a group of children and a woman who brought in her pet guinea pig.
Right.
And I asked, after interviewing the lady, I said, "Do any of you children have any questions about what it's like to have a guinea pig as a pet?" And one little boy put his hand up and said, "How do guinea pigs go poops?"
Yeah, I
another golden moment.
To this day, I don't know how you responded.
I think I burst out laughing.
You probably did. And you just roll, kind of roll with that.
Yeah.
Then you can hear through the headsets with the guys in the studio. They're all losing it.
Yes.
The guy in the control room, they're all losing it. And thinking, oh, good, this is fun.
And speaking of children, your daughter Laura,
oh gosh,
who was so sweet and tiny when you first started on the show, tell us about when she found out her mommy was Doobie.
Oh, well, we brought her into the studio. Dave was probably 4.
Your son.
Yes, and Laura was 2. Now, we had told Dave what I did for a living, but that he was sworn to secrecy, and God love that little kid. He never told a soul. And to digress for a moment, we actually had him on the show as one of the kids once.
Yes.
And he was terrible.
He was so bad we had to kick him off.
We did. I kept telling the PA, I said, "Get him out of there. He's not paying attention. But it was boring for him because he'd seen it many, many times.
Yes.
So he wasn't one of the typical kids that got excited.
Right.
But I digress. Laura, the first time she came in the studio, she saw Doobie for the first time. And like a number of kids did, they're used to seeing Doobie as about 3 inches on a TV screen. And then they see Doobie in real life, or Paddington Bear, and the size becomes overwhelming. And the same thing happened to Laura, because, of course, she doesn't know it's me. So I finally, because she was terrified and yes. clingy and pulling back and everything, and I thought, okay, I'll take my head off, and then she'll know it's me, right? Not the right thing to do to a two-year-old, just saying, if anyone's listening. I took the head off, and I went, sweetheart, it's mommy. Oh, my God, she thought the bee had eaten me or something, because she was absolutely terrified. It was so much trauma. So from then on, when she came, and we used her for any segments and whatever, heads never came off. I never let on it was me. It was
That's
just
right.
And she loved all the characters. She was years before she found out it was me.
Oh.
I think she was 18 or something. Sorry, Laura.
Now, I think we should close with some stories about pranking.
Pranking who would that be?
Well, it was me.
That would be you.
I think it was the crew and you.
I took part, yes.
Your highest goal to see if you could break me up on camera. And I would not break.
No.
I was doing that show. I was going to get to the end of that show.
Hey, if you could ride a whale and not swim, like the courage that you could conjure when you needed to. My favorite, though, was when we had a game that we called scarf juggling.
Yes.
I really did not like scarf juggling.
Neither did I.
Yeah. Well, see, the difference is you weren't blind to it. When I tossed something, whether I was the bee or the bear, I couldn't see where those silly scarves went. So how in the world am I going to catch them? And so I'd just throw it, right? And then I'd find another or take one from a kid and throw that. So anyway, finally, one day we decided that we were going to get you. And unbeknownst to you, the kids had been primed already that we were going to go on strike. We were going to protest scarf juggling. And scarf juggling had been scripted for that show. So I come out, because you said, come on, Doobie, let's play scarf juggling. So I come dancing out the door like I usually do, only this time I've got a whole wad of signs. I've got protest signs. Down to scarf juggling, no more scarf. And the kids knew to come and get this, and we just pranced around. So, and I hid under the desk from time to time.
Yes, you
when you
did.
Weren't prepared for that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
And the crew used to enjoy putting little objects and pictures, and I won't say what, on the boom microphone, which was over my head as I spoke, to see if that would throw me at all looking up. And it did not. Well, once it did.
Oh. Want to go into that or no?
No, not at all.
Okay.
And once there was a time where they glued my magic mirror onto the desk, they were nasty to me.
Oh, it was all in good fun. And you enjoyed
I
it.
I did.
You did.
And I just want to say in closing that we were so fortunate to work with three directors,
yeah.
Tom Keller, Calvin Shaver, and Paul Francis Cuddy, all of them wonderful gentlemen and superb, talented individuals.
Couldn't agree more.
Weren't we lucky?
And also a big thank you to CKCO, because the trips we went on.
Yes.
Sometimes you came up with such brilliant ideas, and then you went to them so prepared, because you always were. And they were like, yeah, okay, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Yes.
So that's a thank you to them and a thank you to you for all the hard work that you did over those years.
It was indeed my pleasure.
I showed up and got on the plane and everything else was prearranged for me and for all of us. So thank you very much for all of that.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Cass.
You too, Fran. You take care.
You too, my friend.
This is the captain speaking. We have started our descent into Vancouver. We'd like to thank Fran Papad Shannon and Kathy Menard, and what happens on the road stays on the road. We hope you'll fly with us again.